facts, candid conversations, and some levity to lighten your day. This is The Cale Clark Show on Relevant Radio.
A fabulous Friday to you. So glad you're kicking off the weekend with me. 1-888-914-9149 is the toll-free line to call for The Cale Clark Show on Relevant Radio. Once again, 1-888-914-9149. You can also email the program, cale@relevantradio.com, cale@relevantradio.com. You can email us your questions, your comments. I'm going to try to get to some listener questions today, and I'd really appreciate these emails. And I know that sometimes you might say, well, when is he going to respond to me? I do read them all. Unfortunately, we get a huge volume of emails. I try to respond as much as I can, but do keep those questions coming. And we'll try to get those on the air as soon as we can, because lots of great questions coming in. You can also contact me on Twitter. You can follow me there at Cale Clark, C-A-L-E, Clark with an E. And the show account is at Cale Clark Show. And what's great about our Friday shows is that we get to kind of kick back a little bit and set ourselves up for what hopefully will be a nice, relaxing time. And what is that time? Well, of course, we have to go to maybe the arguably the greatest guy ever to play James Bond. Depends on where you come from with this. Daniel Craig, what's up?
Ladies and gentlemen, The Weeknd.
Yeah, it never gets old. It's always funny. Producer Lucas always laughs at that.
I don't know why it's funny, but every time I just laugh.
it is great. It is fantastic. It's a Twitter meme. And yeah, this guy's like created a Twitter account for that phrase, ladies and gentlemen, The Weeknd. And you should follow it.
That Twitter account has like 400,000 followers.
I know. It's unreal. It's incredible. And what's great about The Weeknd is you can actually listen to The Weeknd if you want, but you can also engage in some high-quality leisure. Now, Producer Lucas, you might remember this. Back on July the 6th, we did ask people to engage in a high-quality leisure challenge, and author Cal Newport has challenged people to do this on his blog. We talked about that on the show. And by the way, there's even an article about this in the Relevant Radio Archives on their blog. You can read about this. We challenge people to do, and by the way, who wrote that blog? John Hanready, who recently started with us here at Relevant Radio on the digital team. He has been absolutely killing it with his blog posts lately. Fantastic content. We're so glad he's on the team. He's a really gifted writer. And he wrote a piece. I don't know how he turned this around so quickly, Lucas. Yesterday we had Olympic gold medalist Dominique Dawes on the program. And if you missed that episode, you can catch it on the podcast on the Relevant Radio app. relevantradio.com/Cale or wherever you get your podcast. Do listen to that show because it was really powerful, all about how she went from chasing gold to chasing God. Incredible conversation with Dominique Dawes. John Hanready turned that around in a matter of hours and had a piece up on the website. I couldn't believe it. I couldn't believe it. It was so good. So good. And one of the other things he wrote about, and you can find this again in the archives, is the show that we did back on July the 6th, which was about high quality leisure. And we challenged people to do three things. Number one, to try to read at least three books this month of July. And it could be about anything. It could be a religious book. It could be a catechetical book. It didn't have to be specifically Catholic. It could just be about something that you're interested in, something enjoyable. Producer Lucas is going to read The Lord of the Rings for the 278th time. That was his idea to read that trilogy. Those would be his three books. We also challenge people. Now, Cal Newport wanted you to talk to 20 different people face-to-face. Well, it didn't have to be live, but it couldn't be through text. It had to be through a face-to-face conversation of some sort, either on FaceTime or maybe having lunch with somebody or something like that. So we thought that was a bit high. Patrick Alog, who's probably listening right now, he's on PTO this week. He said, Cale, I think we should really whittle this down to five conversations. Okay, that seems more gettable. And then the third thing was to move, to spend at least 15 minutes every day moving around, preferably outside, going for a walk, maybe taking your mobile phone with you and listening to the Family Rosary Across America, praying the rosary, Father Rocky, doing something outside, moving. And then the last thing was to make something, interact with the physical world, apply your genius to it. And it could be anything from making a model boat to, I don't know, making mud pies. That's what my daughter likes to do in the backyard. But to try to make something. So how are you doing with this challenge? We haven't brought this up in a little while. But I said for this month, we can maybe, you could focus on any of them. And if you've done any of these things, give us a call. I want to know about it, how your high quality leisure is going. 1-888-914-9149. It might give somebody some ideas for what to do this weekend. And specifically, I said, let's try to focus on the first challenge of trying to read 3 books this month. And how are you doing with that, producer Lucas?
I'm doing okay, but not great, to be honest.
Yeah, same.
I am in the middle of one, but it's been fruitful. I feel like it's on Blessed Pier Giorgio Frassati.
Oh, wow.
Who I didn't know anything about. And wow, what an incredible story that he has. But I am slacking. Really, I'm only in one book right now. How about you?
I'm struggling as well. I am reading because on our sister program, The Faith Explained, we're going through 1 Corinthians. So I'm reading a 1 Corinthians commentary, a scholarly commentary on that, which is pretty readable. It's pretty good by Richard Hayes. Love it. Also reading Father Michael Ward, who was on the program recently, and that's another great show that you can catch in the archives. After Humanity, the book that he talked about, that he wrote on the show. It's all about C.S. Lewis and the incredible insight that Lewis had into the human condition and what's going on really in this modern world of ours. That's a really great book. So I've been delving into that. I haven't finished it yet, but that's really been a good read too. So I've been a little bit behind on this too. Lots has been going on, but I think it's a good thing. If you don't at least set a goal, if you don't at least set a bar to try to clear, you're never going to be able to clear it. So
that's true.
I don't think it's that bad. And just by the way, for the people listening, who is Pier Giorgio Frassati?
Yeah, he is an Italian saint. He was born in the early 20th century, in the early 1900s. And he was born into a very wealthy family. His father was one of the owners or main distributors of a magazine called La Stampa, which was very influential in Italian society in that day. And his dad also went on to become a senator in the Italian government and the ambassador to Germany. Wow. But what's fascinating is that Blessed Pierre really chose a life that was more difficult when the easiest of lives was available to him. So he really dedicated his life to serving the poor and reaching out to the most vulnerable in society. And he is known probably mostly now today by the phrase verso l'alto, which means to the heights.
To the heights.
Because he liked to mountain climb. And I love that because he really did reach the heights, not only by mountain climbing, but spiritually.
He did.
You know, the Christian life has the paradox of you kind of reach the spiritual heights by descending. And he really showed that, which I love. So.
Yeah, there's a famous photo of him on a mountain on one of the Alps, and he's got a pipe in his mouth. And
yeah.
How old was he when he died?
He was 24.
Only 24?
24 years old.
Same age as St. Therese of Lisieux. Wow, incredible. Yeah. So you don't have to wait till you're 98 years old to become spiritually mature. That's one of the main lessons from that. But sorry, what were you going to say?
No, I was just thinking, was that the same age as St. Kateri Tekakwitha as well?
I believe you're correct.
She's in her 20s.
Yeah,
crazy,
I believe you're correct, and we talked about her the other day too. So that was a great thing. And Pope John Paul II, when he talked about her, he made sure to reference at World Youth Day like how young she was, and that he made that same point. You don't have to wait until you're older too, because really becoming a saint is about letting God mold you into a saint. God, you don't have, it's not some you can't sort of pull up your bootstraps and make this happen on your own. You just have to make yourself available to God's will. God's will is that we all become saints, canonizable saints. That's what St. Paul says in 90% of his letters. When he's writing the greeting, he says, you know, to you in Corinth who are called to be saints, to you in Rome who are called to be saints. We're all called to be canonizable saints. And yeah, I have a poster of Frassati on my wall.
Nice.
And again, that phrase, verso l'alto, you know, to the heights. And I texted that to you the other day, and you knew what I was talking about. And I was like, I wonder if he knows about Frassati. So there you go. And he had so many friends. He really enjoyed life, and he really made the most of it. And as you said, his service to the poor. At his funeral, thousands of people showed up. It was such an incredible outpouring of of love and grief for this young man. I think it even shocked his family, because many of the people that were in line to pass by his casket were the poor of the city. And so what an incredible testimony that was. It really, really good. So,
yeah,
so to the heights, to the heights. And we do need those times to relax. And he used to love to relax with his friends. And I know that in this challenge that we've given people on high-quality leisure, and if you want to tell us about your high-quality leisure experiences, give us a call, 888-914-9149. How's that book challenge going? If you've read anything interesting, I want to hear about that. Maybe it's something our other listeners might want to pick up, too.
Hey, Kale, I actually just got a text from Sarah Tafoya.
Oh, really?
She co-hosts the Family Rosary Across America.
Sarah's incredible.
As you know. She just said, does Bernstein Bears count? If so, then I'm at 15.
That is hilarious. And
so she is besting us all up with that one there.
And Sarah, let me give you a shout out. You do an excellent job as Father Rocky's co-host at times on the Family Rosary Across America, along with Margaret, and really love your sense of humor. Hey, we got to get you as a guest on the show someday, Sarah. I tell you, we could have a good conversation. But so thanks for that. That counts in my book. That counts in my book, Producer Lucas.
I agree.
And I know that we've been telling people you really need to read more, you really need to get outside more, you really need to talk to people more, you need to make things. But I can't resist in saying this, that one thing you could do for some high-quality leisure, I'm going to go ahead and recommend a TV program, because I know TV, you know, we need to watch less TV, but this show is actually really good. And I'm talking about Ted Lasso. Have you heard of the show? Ted Lasso is produced on the Apple TV Plus suite of programs. And Apple's really become not only one of the biggest companies in the world, but they're now producing their own original TV and film content. And it's quite good. The stuff that I've seen from them is quite good. I haven't watched everything by any stretch of the imagination. But Ted Lasso Season 2 drops today. So if you're subscribed somehow to Apple TV Plus, you might want to check this out. It's worth watching. It's actually the most probably unintentionally Catholic show that I've seen in quite some time. And let me just play for you a clip from the trailer for Season 1 of Ted Lasso.
Oi, mate, this you.
I believe it is.
Wicked. You coaching football, you are a legend for doing something so stupid. I mean, it's mental. They're gonna murder you.
This is a bit of news from the other side of the Atlantic. AFC Richmond announced the hiring of their new manager, American football coach Ted Lasso.
You're an American who's now in charge of a football club, despite possessing very little knowledge of the game.
I know that AFC Richmond is going to give you everything they got, win or lose. Or
tie. Right, y'all do ties here.
Did you see that?
He must be from England, yeah?
Wales.
Is that another country?
Yes and no.
How many countries are in this country?
Four.
Like it or not, Richmond are changing the way we do things. And from now on, that way is the Lasso way.
Okay, that's a little clip from the trailer for Season 1 of Ted Lasso, which is directed and I think written by Jason Sudeikis, who of course is an alum of Saturday Night Live. And really, Ted Lasso, I think, started out as a bit of a skit that he used to do on NBC Sports. And it's about an American who's actually an American football coach at Division II Wichita State, the Shockers, and he gets hired inexplicably to coach in the Premier League of English football, that is soccer to the rest of us. And it's really a classic fish out of water narrative story. And it's just kind of, I heard so much about it, about how funny it was, how good it was. Finally, I decided to give it a shot. I convinced my wife Trish to watch it with me, and she loved it just as much as I did. And trust me, the soccer aspect of it, that really doesn't have a whole lot to do with it. If you're not a sports fan, it's not going to really affect you at all. Soccer is just the vehicle for telling this story. And again, this fish out of water narrative is really as old as storytelling itself. I read a great piece about this by the Franciscan Daniel Horan, who is writing for NCR Online about the first season of Ted Lasso. And he talked about how this is very similar to the Beverly Hillbillies or Green Acres. And you might think this is going to be just super, super cliche, this fish out of water story with Ted Lasso. But really, it's not at all. There's a lot of new ground that's broken here. And again, the premise is Ted Lasso coaches Division II football. He's somehow, I can't remember how he lost his job or why he's not coaching there anymore, for Wichita State. And he is hired to coach AFC Richmond in England. And the reason why is because it's actually a way for the owner of the team to get back at her ex-husband. The team is owned by a woman named Rebecca Welton, who takes over the squad after a very messy and very public divorce from her ex-husband, the very wealthy and the very philandering Rupert. And she's basically suffered incredibly because all of his affairs, all of his infidelities have been splashed all over the tabloids in England. And so she wants to take revenge on him by basically driving. The only thing that he really cared about was AFC Richmond, this Premier League soccer team. And she wants to absolutely drive it into the ground just to pay him back, just to get back at him. So that's why she hires Ted Lasso, who she knows absolutely nothing about soccer. You know, he may have coached American football, but he knows nothing at all about soccer. So why hire him? Well, she knows what she's doing. Why did he take the job? That's an interesting question. And it's fascinating. It's an absolutely fascinating story and premise. And yeah, I think you might really, really enjoy this. Ted Lasso is kind of the eternal optimist. He's so optimistic and so cheerful and so positive that it seems almost unbelievable. And he almost does seem like an unbelievable character. How is he going to be able to keep this up throughout the entire season? He is so kind, even to people that he knows want him to fail. His situation seems hopeless. AFC Richmond is so bad that they're on the verge of being relegated. Now, what does relegation mean? Well, I kind of wish we had this in North American sports. It means that if you're so bad in the English Premier Soccer League, which a lot of people think is the best soccer league in the world, if you're really terrible in the Premier League, they'll actually relegate you. They'll kick you out of the Premier League into a lower tier league, and then you kind of have to work your way back up. So there's no such thing as tanking over there. You've got to win or else he can't stay in. And so he's got a lot of doubters, a lot of people that want to see him fail, including the team owner. But eventually he just wins them all over with his personality and his attitude. It's incredible. Here's another series of clips from the show.
What do you love? Is it writing? Yes.
Yeah,
good, because you're darn good at it.
Thank you.
Well,
me? I love coaching. Now, I'm going to say this again, just so you didn't think it was a mistake the first time I said it. For me, success is not about the wins and losses. It's about helping these young fellas be the best versions of themselves on and off the field. And it ain't always easy, Trent, but neither is growing up without someone believing in you. If you just figure out some way to turn that me into us, sky's the limit for you.
I lost my way for a minute, but I'm on the road back.
All right, a little clip there, a little meditative music there. And in that first conversation, Ted Lasso is talking with a sports writer named Trent who really wants to write a hit piece on Ted Lasso, takes him out to a restaurant, and he's just overwhelmed with his sincerity. He says, you know, this guy does not know what he's doing in terms of coaching soccer, but he's absolutely sincere, and he winds up being won over, just like everybody is, from Ted Lasso. So really, this show is about hope, and we really need this in today's culture. Zach Davis wrote a piece as well about this show, and he talks about a scene in the show where Ted Lasso goes to a local pub, and all the fans just hate this guy. They absolutely, every time they see him in the streets, they're just shouting things at him and all kinds of unpleasantries. And he says to some of these fans, these local fans, Ted Lasso, why don't you have a little hope? And their reply to him is, haven't you lived here long enough to realize it's the hope that kills you? It's the hope that kills you. And it really reminds one, says Zach Davis, of something said in the Gospel of Luke with respect to the aftermath of the cross, the road to Emmaus. Jesus, you know, they don't know it's Jesus, is walking next to these two disciples who are sad, they're dejected. And Jesus is like, hey, why do you guys look so sad? What's wrong? Oh, haven't you heard? Haven't you heard about Jesus? Haven't you heard what happened to him? We had hoped that he was going to be the one to redeem Israel. But instead, he was murdered just like a common criminal, another failed messianic claimant. And so their hope seems gone. And Jesus says, how foolish you are and how slow of heart to believe all that the scriptures have spoken about me. And then he kind of goes through this big Bible study. Imagine Jesus teaching you the scriptures, going through all kinds of prophecies in the Old Testament scriptures, saying that the Messiah had to suffer and then rise again. And really, we need that hope today. We're so desperate for it. The pandemic, it's not quite over yet, is it? You know, the Delta variant is rising. Vaccines are here, of course. Things are starting to open up. But people have been allowed to dream a little bit more. We can dream about those full stadiums, you know, baseball stadiums, the Olympics, no fans there, of course, but there is a sign of hope. Things are starting to get back to normal. And Ted Lasso is really a show full of hope. And as Zach Davis writes, it's interesting because the perspective that we have watching the show, he says it's the closest vantage point to being like God that a viewer can have on television today. What does that mean? Because we get to see all the characters who have various issues, we get to see them develop throughout the show because of the influence of Ted Lasso. And just his pure goodness starts to work on them and they begin to change in their character. So that's kind of what God is like with us. He watches us develop and go through periods of maybe being very far away from him. But of course, he never gives up on us, and we should never give up on others as well. So lots of good stuff about Ted Lasso. And hey, if you want to call in, if you've seen the show, if this resonates with you at all, and again, there's no intention by Jason Sudeikis to make a Catholic show or even a Christian show. I don't think so, but it's unintentionally Christian. So we're going to take a quick break right now. Give me a call, 1-888-914-9149. We'll be right back on the Gale Clark Show. Catholic Order of Foresters is proud to sponsor the Relevant Radio studio line. For information about employment opportunities and flexible premium life insurance plans, visit relevantradio.com/Forester.
Helping you keep your mind off traffic and on the more important things in life. It's Cale Clark on Relevant Radio.
Coming Back Again, that's the name of that song, and it's a great tune. So good to be with you on the Cale Clark Show as we head into the weekend. 1-888-914-9149. Oh, I got a busy weekend lineup, but I'm going to try to watch a little bit of season two of enough, Lucas. Okay, I know you like that song, but come on. You don't want to crank it on the weekend, you know, and really make your neighbors in the studio.
That's
okay. It's okay. You're like, in some ways, a teenager whose parents are away. You know, you're alone in the studio, and Father Rocky will not know if you crank the tunes really loud, except for the fact that we just told him about it. So hopefully he's not listening. But that's okay. That's okay. We can do that. It's the weekend. We can let our hair down a little bit. So I got a busy weekend lineup. I'm going to try to watch a little bit of Ted Lasso. And once again, this show does not claim to be a Christian show in any way. And Ted Lasso, his character is not exactly perfect. He does do some things that, you know, morally speaking, you know, we would say not cool. It's hard to find a perfect show on television. It's really hard to find a show that really has no objectionable content. Although Stiesel comes pretty close, right? Lucas, I know you've been hooked on that. I got you onto that.
Stiesel. Stiesel's good. Not Stiesel, perfect, but good.
S-H-T-I-S-E-L.
Yeah.
If you want to know how to spell that, it's on Netflix. Really interesting. It's about an Orthodox Jewish community. No swearing, no nudity, lots of references to God. It's a cool show. And Ted Lasso is good, too. And, of course, that is on Apple TV Plus. Season 2 drops today. Andrew Pettiprin, if you Google Ted Lasso Catholic, like, you'll find lots of articles about this show from a Catholic perspective. And one that just came out today was from Andrew Pettiprin, who is someone who writes on faith and culture for the Word on Fire blog. And he's a convert to the Catholic faith. He's a former Episcopalian priest. And that's another way of saying an Anglican priest. And I know in the United States, Anglicans are called Episcopalians. And there's an old joke that I once heard, wherever there's four Episcopalians, there's always a fifth. If you get it, I don't know if that, yeah, I don't know if that's, you could use that for any group. Anyways, I'm kidding, Episcopalians out there. I'm only kidding. It's just a joke. But he's converted to Catholicism, and he wrote about Ted Lasso being kind of this interesting, almost like a Christ figure. He doesn't actually say that in the article, but Ted Lasso, he says, is a servant leader. He's a servant leader. He tries to get people to the next step in their personal journey. And he tries to, you know, as a coach, just kind of push them through. And we all need that in life. And really, this is what leadership in the church is all about. Servant leadership. Like the Pope's favorite title is the Servus Servorum Dei, servant of the servants of God. So it's downward mobility, kind of like what you were talking about earlier, Lucas, with Pier Giorgio. The more responsibility you have in the church, the more people you have to serve. Essentially, that's how it works. And Andrew Petiprin says that Ted Lasso is kind of a funny and kindly Socrates figure, and he has an almost Christ-like ability to make disciples who make more disciples. Yeah, when he first gets there to his football club in the UK, what's it called again? It is AFC. I always forget this. AFC. I can't remember. Anyways, it'll come to me. But when he gets to his club, nobody wants to buy into his methods of positivity. They think they're terrible. They're not playing well. But he puts up this sign that simply says, believe in the locker room. And that's really the main theme of the show. And eventually he does get buy-in. He gets buy-in. And also a great thing about Ted Lasso that Petiprin doesn't mention is that he really is a great example of loving your enemies, because everybody wants him to fail. But he's still incredibly kind, even to the team owner who has set him up from the beginning. He winds up giving her these special cookies every day, drops them off at her office, and she just devours them. Where those cookies come from, it's part of the plot. I won't spoil that for you. But anyways, some really good pieces out there, and I'd recommend the blog post from Andrew Petiprin if you want to read more about Ted Lasso. And speaking of Andrew Petiprin, as I mentioned, he's a convert to the Catholic faith, and he recently appeared on the Journey Home program with Marcus Grodi, which is a show that interviews people who have become converts to the faith, maybe reverts to the faith. I was on the show back in 2011, a long time ago. And recently, Andrew Petiprin was on the Coming Home Network talking about some of the things that led him back to the Catholic Church. Take a listen.
All of us who come into the Catholic Church from other ecclesial groups know that we're on a journey, that we've been on a journey, and that we arrive somewhere when we arrive in the Catholic Church. I'm a runner, so I like to think about running a race. And I love Paul's imagery that he uses in many places about faith, the life of faith, as running a race. I think what can happen, though, is sometimes, depending on what denomination you're in and what you're going through in your own personal life, there can be moments when you just want to run away. You want to run away from the problems of your denomination, or you want to run away from personal problems that you're experiencing. And you think, like, if I can only get to someplace more stable, then all of that will go away. And the truth is that wherever you go, you're going to have problems. And the Catholic Church, because it is so big, has many problems. And so whatever denomination you might come from, and whatever problems you might have faced there, don't think that you're becoming Catholic to avoid the kinds of problems that you might have been experiencing. But the image of running is still right on, because what's happening is the Catholic Church is calling you into it. And so your race is running towards her. And that may mean that in some respects you're running towards more problems or more difficulty, but you're definitely running towards truth, and you're definitely running towards reality.
I love that take. That's such a great take from Andrew Petiprin, whose name for some reason is a bit of a tongue twister for me. But I like that you're running to the church. Almost like, it's like those commercials that you see for the Marines, where they, when most people hear, you know, chaos and gunfire and all kinds of trouble, they want to run away from it. Well, they run into the situation. They run to the danger to help others. And so we've got to run into the Catholic Church, even though she has a lot of problems, always has, always will, because the church is made up of sinners. And unfortunately, some of those sinners even get into the hierarchy, the clergy. Just read the news, check Twitter. There's lots going on all the time on that front. But that shouldn't dissuade us. We can't forget that Judas was one of the 12, right? So this will always be a problem. As long as there are humans in the church, there are sinners in the church. It's a field hospital for sinners, as Pope Francis likes to say. And I also like that example that Petiprin gave of running, because he is a runner. He is a runner. And that athletic metaphor of the Catholic life is so powerful. I actually got a question about this from Gina in Chicago. This isn't your wife, Gina, is it, Lucas? Or is this someone else? Or
no, it's not.
Okay. just checking. Maybe she has a question. Anyways, and Gina, you're welcome to have questions for me if you're listening. But Gina from Chicago wrote to ask, "Hi, Cale, I really enjoyed your interview with Olympian Dominique Dawes yesterday. Thank you so much for that. And my question is, was there anything like the Olympics in St. Paul's time? Because he talks a lot about athletic events in his letters." And yeah, that's exactly, thank you, Gina, for that question. There was something like that in St. Paul's day, and Andrew alluded to that in that little sound clip. St. Paul does use a lot in various places in his letters, a lot of athletic metaphors. One place where he talks about this stuff is in 1 Corinthians chapter 9. And this is what he says at the end of that chapter. He says, "Do you not know that in a race all the runners compete, but only one receives the prize? So run that you may obtain it. Every athlete exercises self-control in all things. They do it to receive a perishable wreath, but we an imperishable. Well, I do not run aimlessly. I do not box as one beating the air. But I pummel my body and subdue it, lest after preaching to others, I myself should be disqualified." And so right there we see evidence of Olympic sports, if you will, running, boxing. That sort of thing was going on in Paul's day. The ancient Olympics were in effect. But one of the reasons why he's using these metaphors specifically with the Corinthians, we mentioned this a little bit on the Faith Explained program. You can check the podcast archives for these episodes. In the city of Corinth, there was an athletic festival that was really second only to the Olympics in prominence in the ancient world. And that was called the Isthmian Games, And they happen every 2 years. The Olympics in modern times, they happen every 4 years. Well, the Isthmian Games took place every 2 years, and it's basically all the same events. It's kind of a junior Olympics, if you will. But people from all over the world would just pour into the city of Corinth, which was built on an isthmus, and that's why they call it the Isthmian Games. And so all of these sports would take place, huge crowds would come, and St. Paul probably got a lot of extra cash out of this, you know, because he never took money from the Corinthian church. He refused to do that. He basically supported himself by his craft of tent making. He made tents, and hey, if the hotels are full, you can buy a tent from Paul. They're pretty good quality. And in Acts chapter 18, it talks about how St. Paul made tents with his friends Priscilla and Aquila. They stopped in Corinth, and they were both, they're all in that field of tent making. That was their trade. And so they worked together and probably had a lot of clients. So these athletic metaphors are really important for the spiritual life. And everybody in Corinth could relate to that because they all knew about the games. And St. Paul was a master preacher because he was able to use illustrations, things from their everyday life to talk about the Christian life. And St. Paul uses the discipline of an athlete he compares that to the discipline of the Catholic life. You have to give up things like, I don't know, the In-N-Out burgers. Patrick Alog's out in California now. He's posting all these pictures of In-N-Out burgers. You know, thanks for making me jealous, Patrick. You can't eat that if you're training for the Olympics. Well, at least not every day, that's for sure. You've got to give up some of your prerogatives, things you would otherwise do for the sake of the greater goal. And what did you get? We talked about this very, very briefly yesterday. What did you get when you won a medal at the Isthmian Games? You got a withered crown of celery. That was your reward. Yay! Well, St. Paul says, we're looking for an imperishable crown of glory that will never fade away. That sounds much, much better. Much, much better. So as you're watching the Olympics, they're taking place right now in Tokyo. The opening ceremony happened today, early this morning, of course, here in North America. If you watched it live, maybe you did, maybe you got up early. But if you did not, it's going to be on NBC tonight. And apparently, it was quite good. And I myself, producer Lucas, I don't quite have the physique of the flag bearer from Tonga yet, who's all over the internet. But in time, you know, hopefully, at least my soul looks that chiseled. You know,
but oh, that's a good take. Yeah, your soul looks like that.
Yeah, I don't know. Well, who knows? Only God can judge that. But at any rate, we're going to go to the phones right now. We're going to go to Marvin, who's calling from the beautiful city of San Diego. Hey, Marvin, welcome to the show.
Hey, thank you. Good afternoon.
Afternoon.
I just wanted to make a comment to you about the Ted Lasso show. I actually just binged watched it this past week, and was very surprised that at how good it was. And I was struck by just how Catholic the Lasso message is. Because in his the way that he deals with people, he changes them. And you see these characters change how they treat others, and it's very contagious how they start affecting one another.
I think that's a great point. And it's like, as Andrew Petterprin said in his article about Ted Lasso, he's like a disciple making machine. You know, he just convinces people to his outlook, and then they start convincing others, and it just becomes very contagious. And it's a lot like what St. Paul says in another place in the New Testament, where he says, hey, what you've heard from me, entrust to faithful leaders also, who also, in their turn, can teach other people. So he's talking about really four generations, Paul to Timothy, to the guys Timothy is going to teach, and then those guys are going to teach others. So it just, that's how things spread. And people
can
catch the fire.
I think you're right. I think you're right that it's just the perfect message for our times right now. And it's not exactly a family show, but for an adult audience, I was really amazed to see it show up on Apple Plus, frankly. But it's a great program, and I'd recommend your listeners check it out.
Yeah, and that's a good thing that you pointed out, Martin. It's not really a family show. There is a little bit of adult humor there. And maybe it's not adult humor, because if it's not good for kids, it shouldn't be good for adults either at a certain point. But again, it's hard to find a perfect TV show. So with discretion, viewer discretion advised, it's one of the better shows out there. And in some ways, it's kind of tragic how a secular program does a better job of getting some Catholic value out there than the church could do on its own. But hey, you can find God everywhere in every medium, and you can find things that speak to you. So really appreciate that call, Marvin. Have yourself a great weekend.
Okay, you too.
You got it. And don't spend all the weekend binge watching season 2 of Ted Lasso. We're going to go now to Lily, who's calling from Northwest Indiana. Hi, Lily. Welcome to the show.
Hi, Kale. This is my first time calling. I love your shows both.
Oh, thank you.
I love the image, or what I don't remember the person's name who was comparing our religious life or our faith to running, because I've participated in a couple marathons, and that is so exactly how I view my faith and my religious journey. I was telling Lucas that, you know, it's such an emotional roller coaster, and sometimes you feel like you can't go another step. And when I was participating in the marathons, you have, you know, the people that are cheering you on, and I just view them as like the saints. You know, you can do it, and it's so overwhelming when you get to that finish line. Even when you see it, you know, maybe, you know, a few hundred yards away, and you go past that finish line, it is an awesome feeling. And I'm thinking, you know, I can't wait to see if that, you know, heaven. I don't know. It was just, wow. It's just an awesome, awesome feeling. And that is exactly, I mean, sometimes, you know, getting up to train, you don't want to do it. You're too tired to pray. You're too tired to train. Just so, St. Paul is right on when he also, you know, talks about running the good race. because that is definitely what it is, and it is awesome, awesome, awesome.
Lily, that's a great, and you've lived it, so you know that's a great analogy from St. Paul. And I think it's also important that, you know, there's different types of running races. There's sprints, but you mentioned the marathon and something that you've done personally. It is a marathon. The Catholic life is a marathon, not a sprint. I know that's cliche, but it's a long road. We never know where the finish line is for us necessarily. We've got to try to run through the tape. But I really love how you said it's great when you're running a marathon and the people that are on the side of the road that are cheering you on, that really does help you. That really does push you on. Because if nobody was there, you might be tempted to just kind of say, I'm done, I'm out of here. But the fact that they're watching,
right. It's
very similar to what the letter to the Hebrews says. That great faith
Absolutely. Chapter
of Hebrews 11, where it says that we're surrounded by this great cloud of witnesses, the saints, the angels in heaven who have gone before. They want us to get there as they're cheering us on in the arena. I love that. So thank you very much for that call and for your kind words, Lily, and have yourself an awesome weekend too. That was great.
Thanks, you too.
You got it. All right, so more of your phone calls after this break. Jose in South Texas, I see you there. Hang on, my brother. I'm going to get to you right after this. 1-888-914-9149. You can call in. It's the Cale Clark Show on Relevant Radio on this Friday. Be right back.
Faith and how you can live it and share it too. It's the Cale Clark Show. Have a question? Give Cale a call at 888-914-9149.
Hey, listen, so glad that you're here. This is our last segment of the week. And you're going to want to stick with us for the next few minutes because very, very shortly, we've got a surprise for you. It's the week that was. Producer Lucas Holt has been working pretty hard on this one. It's a summary of all the great items and all the great moments that we've had on the Cale Clark Show. At least some of them, can't use them all, but it's a great compilation that's coming up in just a few moments. So stick with us for that. Going to go back to the phones right now. Jose is calling from South Texas. Hello, Jose. Welcome to the show.
So my question is this. How much is too much? How much of the world can we be part of, and how much we shouldn't be part of? I'm asking you because I'm trying to avoid the TV and, Netflix and all those, especially Netflix and Disney, since what happened a year or two with Georgia, some of us decided to boycott Netflix and Disney.
Yeah.
But, I mean, almost everybody talks about Netflix and Disney, so I don't know if I'm alienating myself from the secular world too much, or maybe I'm not, but it seems like everybody talks about Hollywood, the media.
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty much our, it's been ingrained as part of our culture. So my question to you is, in your opinion, what's too much, or either too much from one side, too much of being secluded, or too much of being in bulk?
Yeah, that's a really good question, Jose. So if you couldn't hear what Jose was saying, he was basically asking about, how much of this world is too much to take in. And I believe you're referring to that scripture that says, be in the world, but not of the world. And we've probably all heard that phrase. Where does it come from? Well, it actually comes from Jesus, and it comes from John chapter 17. And in John chapter 17, Jesus says, this is his great high priestly prayer before he goes to the cross. He says they're in the world, but they're not of the world. And Jesus says, I've given them, he's praying to his Father, talking about his disciples, I've given them your word, and the world has hated them, for they are not of the world any more than I am of the world. Also, John, of course, writing in his first letter, 1 John chapter 2:15, the Apostle John says, do not love the world or anything in the world. If anyone loves the world, love for the Father is not in them. Now, when he says don't love the world, that doesn't mean don't love anything in the world. It doesn't mean don't love people. We have to love people. We have to love people. We have to love God and love people. That's what it's all about, loving God and loving people. Love God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. And who's your neighbor? Everybody. We have to love everybody, even our enemies. Jesus commanded that as well. tough to do. He modeled it for us. We can only really do that with God's grace. And so, but when he says don't love the world, what he's really referring to, again, is this the world is kind of this mentality of the human heart that's hostile to God. This worldly attitude that wants to live life separated from God. And so, really, if we, St. Paul says in one of his letters, hey, you know, if we work and associate with unbelievers at all, we literally have to leave the world because we're surrounded by them. And God has providentially placed us in places where we are in contact with non-believers who need to know him. And for those people, you may be the only Christ that they ever see. When St. Paul was preaching in Athens to a bunch of secular people, he used actually pagan poets, their own writings, pagan poets and singers of their age that they would have all known about to try to communicate God's truth, because he knew they weren't reading the Bible. So he tried to look at poems and say, well, here's something that could lead you to God in a poem that you like. And in some ways, that's why we talk about TV shows and things like that, because, yeah, they are secular, but God can use anything to reach somebody, a line from a movie, a song. We've talked about that so much on this program. And I think it's really important. The other thing, too, that we get from this, from being in the world in these tough situations, it forms us, too. It's not just, yeah, we get challenged and we get a little bit of persecution sometimes thrown our way for our faith, but it also it helps to form us because it's challenging for us. We've got to pray about how to react to these situations and how to help certain people. And so, yeah, it's all part of the master plan to help other people find the master and help us to become more Christ-like. In terms of your specific question about what kind of media to look at, Jose, and what's appropriate, what's not, I think it's a bit of a personal decision, maybe something you can bring up in spiritual direction if you have a spiritual director, maybe a priest or another spiritual director that you trust, or maybe some good Catholic friends you could talk about that with, because I do think that it depends on the person. It depends on things that you know might tempt you. You're going to want to steer very clear away from those things. And so there's no one-size-fits-all answer to that question, I don't think, in terms of the media usage and things like that. So, yeah, so there's no like, yeah, here's the answer. It takes a lot of prayer and reflection, I think, in a lot of cases. So hopefully that's helpful in some way, Jose. Okay.
Thank you, Claire.
You got it. God bless you, and thank you for calling in. That was Jose calling in from South Texas. Well, it's come to that time. We're at the end of the last show of the week, and that means it's time for the week that was on the Cale Clark Show. I feel like I'm in an 80s video game or something. Sometimes the most pleasing prayer to God is the one when you're just fighting the whole time. Even the Catechism says that. The Catechism in the section on prayer says it's a battle.
I finally surrendered. And the minute I did that, the Holy Spirit rushed in.
I would say that art is the perfect bridge between the intellectual and the emotive or emotional aspects of life.
Just looking at a crucifix can be a catechism in itself.
Any final words that you'd like to share to the class?
Follow the truth wherever it leads you, and don't be afraid.
From the sacraments, Eucharist, papal succession, infallibility, what it means to have a church. I think the only thing you didn't touch on was purgatory and Mary, but I think you got everything else crammed in there, which is pretty impressive.
Free will is super, super important. Conversion and spiritual growth don't happen to us unless we choose it. God doesn't want robots. He wants us to choose to love, and you can really only love if you have free will, right?
A lot of times people read the creation story and they wonder why in the first place God put the tree in the garden. Like, if you didn't want him to eat from the tree, why'd you put it there? But I think that's the point, is he put it there because he wanted to give human beings a choice, because he wanted to create the possibility for genuine love.
She became the first African-American woman to win an Olympic medal in artistic gymnastics and the first black person of any nationality to win an Olympic gold medal in gymnastics. Dominique Dawes is my guest on the Cale Clark Show today.
I will say training for a fourth Olympic Games would be much easier than being a mother of four. getting back up after you fall. I mean, I fell so many times throughout my career, and I learned so much more from my mistakes really the most painful moments in my life than I truly did from my victories.
We tend to remember the falls more, too. Maybe we're able to dig deep and learn about ourselves and how to persevere. And because life is not a game of perfect, that's for sure. There are going to be falls, and even the spiritual life. And thank God for the sacrament of confession. And it's about getting back on the balance beam, to use a gymnastics analogy, and trying once again. Wow. A lot of stuff happened this week, Lucas. Sometimes I forget how many topics we've covered and some of the great guests that we've had, like Dominique Dawes.
So many good ones. And if you missed them, you can go to relevantradio.com/kale and check out all of the podcasts.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's something you can do over the weekend. Could be some high quality leisure for you. I don't know if it's high quality, but it could be leisure. Could put you to sleep. We all need rest, right? On the weekend. And hey, what I'm really excited about, Lucas, is that on Tuesday of next week, I'm going to meet you for the first time.
Yeah, we're going to do a live show together in person.
I can't wait. We'll tell you more about that next week. Have a great weekend, everybody. Lucas Holt produced. Jake Moore took your phone calls. Take it away, Michaela.
Thank you for listening to my daddy.